This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Miami, Florida. Boy, the nation had a lot to talk about today on this show. I say that it's the no drone zone, but I think there was a bunch of droning going on from the 130 million people who were occupied with being so hot because they're under this heat dome that just continues to pound so many states, including Texas, which seems to be getting it the worst, where everywhere from Houston to Dallas and points in between, you're talking about triple digits, and even at night, they're lucky if they barely get below 100, which is crazy. So it is all about the debate, the Republicans in their first debate. And it didn't disappoint. There were some interesting takeaways from this one, including you had the former VP Mike Pence and Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, calling Putin a murderer. And why did that happen? That's how things started off, because Yevgeny Prigozhin, the Wagner Group chief, is dead after a Russian plane crash. He was one of 10 people killed on this private jet that crashed going from Moscow to St. Petersburg. So there's a lot of speculation, obviously, as to Putin's involvement in that, since he was the guy in the group that was planning the coup of Putin, to go after Putin. If you remember, we talked about that a lot on the show. But besides the Republican debate, and before we get there, in Atlanta, you had Rudy Giuliani, who turned himself in, did the whole booking thing, the mugshot, surrendered, and was booked on 13 charges related to trying to overturn the 2020 election. And, of course, he's one of 19 defendants in that case. It is so crazy to see this, I think, for me, because I remember being in New York when it was all about Rudy, when he was the mayor of New York City from 94 to 2001. And, oh, what a different day it is. He had a very stern look in that mugshot. And talked about the fact that he was backing President Trump. And speaking of Trump, he's noticeably absent, obviously, from the debate because he's going to Atlanta to be booked on Thursday. And what's interesting about that is he wasn't going to go anyway because he said over and over again at different stops that he made, campaign stops, that he was so far ahead of everybody in the polls that there was no reason for him to do that. All right, some of the takeaways from the first Republican presidential debate. Like I said, Trump skipping the first debate didn't become as much of a deal. There was a moment when people on the stage were asked by Bret Baier whether they would support Trump. And he kind of had you had two that did not raise their, two that raised their hand that they wouldn't. And that was Chris Christie from New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey, and Mike Pence. So with him skipping the debate, that was like the one moment, I think, that focused on Trump. But there was a kind of a rowdy crowd of about 4,000 people in Milwaukee that were witnessing the debate, and the crowd's reactions were part of this jeering and booing when candidates did criticize Trump at times, kind of drowned out the Fox News moderators. So if you look at this, there was a lot of shots that were taken at Ramaswamy, who is the entrepreneur, who was kind of like the loose wild cannon who said whatever he wanted to say on the stage during the debate. There was a lot of back and forth that was happening there. A little bit later in the debate, the former New Jersey governor Chris Christie compared Ramaswamy's answers to something cranked out by ChatGPT and got a reaction to it. And Christie then capitalized on Ramaswamy rhetorically asking what a little-known guy with a funny name was doing on the debate stage by pointing out that the quip sounded awfully like Barack Obama's old stump line about him being a skinny kid with a funny name who believes that America has a place for him. So there were some things that were talked about. I'll call them meaty things, things that people in America care about and talk about. Some candidates supported a 15-week federal abortion ban. Some said they were against efforts to pass a nationwide ban. And no one clearly said they would sign a 6-week federal abortion ban, even if they approved such laws as governors. So, and of course, this is always a hot question and debate in this country. So there was some time that was absolutely spent on that. And then you had, you had a couple of other things like Tim Scott. Tim Scott going in the debate was going to stick to what his mantra has been, kind of kill them with kindness. That's sort of his attitude. So the first part of the debate, he sort of did that. I mean, he actually did do that. But then he was kind of kept out of most of the hot exchanges while the other candidates were debating and kind of, you know, tug of war over abortion, Ukraine, or whether Trump should be pardoned. He wasn't really in the middle of that. And then he tried to insert himself a couple of times with warnings about the weaponization of the federal government and crime in America. But most of that just kind of fell on the floor and faded mostly into the background. And now it's debatable as to who won the debate, if you want to call it that. And I think that really it's the crowd. The crowd was such a part of it, of the, like I said, the jeering and the booing. And at one point, the former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, chastising the group and saying, this is the problem with what's happening in America, which then elicited more loud cheers as a result of him, saying that. And this is, remember, the first of what will probably be a couple of different debates. And there was a question that I think some are asking themselves as to, okay, Trump wasn't at this debate, but will he step into some other debates? Well, even if he's, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else in the polls, and he's been asked that question and just kind of sloughs it off as to why would he be there? It makes no sense for him to be there. And like I said, at the top of this, there's a lot of focus on what's happening in Atlanta, and with Rudy Giuliani being the first one to show up, really, of the big notables, and now Trump coming in on Thursday, and everybody has until Friday to be booked, and it means all 19. There, of course, is a lot of focus on that and what happens next there, and if, in fact, in reality, will this be a trial this upcoming year in March, like the push is for? But in our conversations with people in Georgia, as you know, in this show, including Martha Zoller, who said there's just no way, if you look at what's happening in that system, that it's going to take place. There is, again, still questions as to all these indictments and how this will all play out. That's the thing that hangs over the head of Trump and hangs over the head of Republicans and this upcoming election in 2024. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side. I'll meet you there.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com. Virtual green room right now. I can't wait to introduce you to Ray Acuna. His book is called Guardians of Air Force Resources. I learned so much that I didn't know that I thought I knew, and you're going to learn too. It's interesting. He enlisted in the Air Force in 1961. He served two combat tours in Vietnam. We thank him for that. Think about this. He met the first U.S. president ever to visit a combat zone, which I didn't even know that, Lyndon B. Johnson, and he's a Texan. And can you imagine that conversation with LBJ, because he was a Texan? So interesting, his career and where it's taken him to a very special place, a very special office. In his book, he talks about real world criminal cases. They're summarized in each chapter. He had to go to the Pentagon to get approval for some of what he talks about. And of course, there's much he can't talk about, but it is a fascinating read. He was an agent for the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, something I had no idea about. And wait till you hear this story. Ray, thanks for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me, Kate.
So talk about your career. You heard I mentioned the tours in Vietnam. What was it like meeting LBJ, especially in those circumstances of what you were dealing with in Vietnam?
Yes, I was very fortunate. I was standing as part of the honor guard. I was standing next to the reviewing stand where President Johnson was giving his speech. And afterwards, he stepped down from the platform and wanted to walk up and down the line of the honor guard, which was composed of the four military services. You know, there was a squad for each one of the military services. And I was fortunate to be very the second person in the front row, and he walked by and stopped, and he looked at my name, and he very, very correctly said, "Where are you from, Acuña?" And I said, "San Antonio, Texas, sir." And he said, "Put it there, fellow Texan." We shook hands. He spoke Spanish as well, so I have a picture of him that appeared in Life magazine at that time, and a lot of pictures were taken of course, being the president and visiting the war zone for the first time, and so Life magazine covered him very well, and there's one of the pictures that shows me standing in front of the president when he stopped to talk to me.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So that happens, and you get an Associate of Arts degree in Criminal Justice. And then when you get that degree, in the early 70s, you get selected for the office I talked about, the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations, as a special agent. And what was that like? And what was it like going to that academy?
Yes. It was... For me, it was the most rewarding experience I ever had. It was like something that every law enforcement person feels attending any one of the academies, just like the FBI Academy. Agents go through the same similar curriculum as the agents do in the Air Force. So it was exciting for me, very exciting.
And you probably didn't know much about what was going to happen because you're learning it. Then you get into the office, and I said this at the top, there's things you couldn't talk about when you wrote this book. You had to make sure it was approved and whatnot. But what did you do? What was your job as a special part of the special investigations group?
Yes. Agents are assigned to every Air Force installation worldwide. There's always an office on an Air Force installation manned by special agents. The responsibilities are to actually look for any crime committed against the Air Force. Any type of crime, fraud investigations, criminal intelligence, all aspects of wrongdoing against the Air Force.
Did you think that you would be investigating the things that you were and how every day was different?
That was pretty much expected. Once you become an agent, you expect to be involved with any type of wrongdoing towards the Air Force. I mean, regardless of who committed the offenses, as long as they're connected to the Air Force, special agents can investigate.
Yeah, and it can be anything. It can be a threat to even a base, to whatever it is in your area. So that's what I think is so interesting, that the different kind of crimes you had to investigate.
Yes, there There are categories that that apply to the investigations themselves. Crimes against a person, crimes against the property, and that's basically the jurisdiction is involving all those crimes that involve Air Force personnel or its property.
Yeah, and you did that from 73 till 87, and then you come back for more, and you end up becoming the deputy provost marshal. What was that like?
Well, that was again a continuance of what I was involved being a special agent. I mean, Provost Marshal is considered the chief of police at a Army installation. And as deputy, I had the responsibilities to oversee the military police operations on that installation.
Yeah. Wow. So the book, again, is Guardians of Air Force Resources. We're speaking to Ray Acuna, and you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people listening to our conversation, people who go and get your book, what do you hope they take away from reading it?
Yes. The takeaway from the book is that people can understand, especially the Air Force community, that there are people that can be contacted to report any type of crime against the Air Force. The special agents really become the guardians of Air Force resources.
Yeah, that's why the book is so perfectly named. All the real-world criminal cases that are summarized in each chapter. Such an interesting cases that you covered in the book. Ray, thank you for joining us on the show.
Okay.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The first Republican primary debate will take place tonight in Milwaukee. Missing from the stage will be frontrunner, former President Trump. But UT San Antonio professor John Taylor says his presence will be felt.
It'll be kind of amusing to see how the candidates will not only try to mention him, but also not necessarily attack him too much.
Taylor says it's going to be hard for some of the fringe candidates to break through, with most of the focus on Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, and Vivek Ramaswamy. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the leader of a mercenary group that marched on Moscow in June, is said to have been on the passenger list of a plane that crashed in Russia. That's according to the Russian Civil Aviation Authority. Russian state media reports that Prigozhin was killed in that crash. Dallas Cowboys defensive end Sam Williams is under arrest. The second-year star was busted on both gun and drug charges. It happened Sunday night in the Dallas suburb of Frisco. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And is written by Tracy L. Davidson. And she joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And I have such a love for birds. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that has become like my hobby in the last couple of years between Texas and Florida. And so her book was a definite must-have for me, and I think for many of you, too, as well. And wait till you hear her story and how this all started. And you think of kids and birds and having kids really being able to identify birds and understand them, like eagles and pelicans and hummingbirds and, you know, so much more. So, Tracy, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for having me.
So tell me the road to writing this book. What was the motivation?
It was primarily my father-in-law and also my children. My father-in-law, when the kids were very small, would tease the kids as toddlers and tell them that, you know, I'm going to get that feather out of your nose or feather out of your ear. And, of course, they would giggle and all that when trying to steal feathers out of his nose and ears and everything. And then by the time they were about 8 and 10 years of age, it was Thanksgiving Day, and we were driving to my in-laws for a big dinner. And I just had this itch to write, and I asked my daughter for a piece of paper. She handed it to me, and I don't know why, but I thought, hey, kids, if you could be any bird, three birds, what would they be? And they responded, and I just started writing. So, you know, the turkey feathers thing just sort of sparked that interest, and I was really surprised by what birds my kids chose. but that really was just driving on a Thanksgiving Day morning was what really started my writing about this book.
Yeah, and it's so funny, the three birds. So I want everybody to think about that that's listening to our conversation. I'm going to tell you mine. Owl, hummingbird, brown pelican.
That is so funny because that's, you know, my daughter basically did the same thing. It was, you know, the hummingbird, the pelican, and, you know, except that she, her third bird was the toucan.
Ooh.
So, yeah, the toucan. And that surprised the heck out of me. I was like, where did that come from? But I went with it, you know?
Yeah, I like that. So what's also really cool, and you talk about this in the preface, and you and I talked about this off air, all this conversation happened way back in 2008. And then what's so crazy, does everybody remember the floppy disk? You found it, and then this turned into the book, right?
Yeah, the floppy disk actually was both a godsend and a curse because I used it to save chapters as I started writing my book. But when I got to chapter 6 and I wanted to print that chapter out after I had written it, the doggone file corrupted and I lost it all. And I was just devastated beyond, repair, and I stopped writing. And clearly I stopped writing for years. I just couldn't get my mojo back. I couldn't think, how in the world am I going to recreate this chapter? And it wasn't until now my daughter's grown up and everything, and she's the one who pushed me to try it, rewriting it. And I don't know how, but I think I came out with a better chapter. But I tell you what, that's a long road to having a writer's block.
Yeah, but it's really tough, too, when you're disappointed and you just can't get it back. It gets corrupted. And I want to make sure people understand, like, Two Feathers is cool, how it's laid out, because you weave in storytelling. I mean, that's what it is. You talk about, like, for example, in the very beginning, you talk about Finnegas. Tell us the story of Finnegas, because I think that will set up the rest of the book for everybody.
Well, I don't even know where his name came out of my head, but it just did. And I just decided that, you know, I wanted to make this kind of my kids the star of the story and make it magical. And, you know, my daughter's spotting this owl and she's just thinking it's, oh, cool, there's an owl in our backyard and everything. But he turns out to be this wizard owl. And, he talks to them and hands a feather each. One to each child and everything, and says a chant that they can, if they say this chant, they can become any bird that they want, but only one child can be a bird at a time, because how in the heck will you become a child again if both of you are birds? And so I thought of this thing about, well, in order to become a child again, you got to pluck a feather from that sibling in order to become a child again. And that's kind of how it lays out and everything. It makes it interesting in terms of, how do I catch my sibling feathered friend to be able to pluck a feather?
Yes, absolutely. That makes it interesting. And in these chapters, as you go through and read the chapters, and this is, by the way, kids can read this, mid school age, middle school, and adults. So I think adults, too. And you have pictures there, like you have pictures in the book. Where did they come from?
I just thought in my head, if I'm going to be reading this book and I want kids to equate what that bird looks like, what is a good representation of that bird? And so I really searched carefully to try to find something that would really represent that bird, so that way they'd have that picture in their mind as they read that chapter. And so, you know, nowadays, the internet is a great thing and stuff. And so I really did a fine-tooth search until I found something that I like and that I thought kids and my readers would like.
Yeah. For you, what was it like actually seeing this book after everything you went through come out?
Oh, my Lord. I was more than, just... It really internalized in me that, oh my God, this is real. You know, everybody had been pushing me, my family had been pushing me to get it published. And when I actually had it in my hands, I actually cried. I was like, oh my God, I really did it. I actually wrote this thing. I actually see it in paper, in book form, like I would buy in a bookstore and everything. And it just was surreal, just absolutely surreal, but a wonderful feeling. I just kind of hugged my book when I first got it, to be honest with you. It was really definitely a labor of love that came to fruition.
Yeah. For you, what is your absolute hands-down favorite bird?
The hummingbird. The hummingbird is my absolute hands-down favorite. I just love the delicateness of them, the tiny feathers, how quick they can go. They can hover like a helicopter. They can go backwards, forwards, up, down. And they're just amazing tiny creatures. And I don't know. I have a tattoo on my right calf of a hummingbird. And so, you know, it's hovering there for life. But so definitely the hummingbird is my ultimate favorite.
It's so interesting, and I have to mention your background because the road to writing the book and raising your kids, I mean, listen, CrossFit, you're a motorcycle person, I mean, you've got a lot going on.
Oh, absolutely. I don't stop. I'm learning how to play the mandolin. I definitely like to stay in shape. I've had two partial knee replacements, so that kind of sort of pushed me to stay in shape. But I've always been active since I was a tadpole myself. And, you know, I just like to continue to do things that are, you know, that people may not think that I do. I mean, I crochet, too. I mean, I can be as sedentary as you want me to be, but I can definitely be as active as well. So, yeah, just trying to live my best life.
I love it. Live your best life. So in the end, and you're weaving it into the conversation, but what do you hope people take away, kids or adults take away from Two Feathers?
I think that things are not always as they seem. It's a great thing to think, oh, my God, wouldn't it be fun to be a hummingbird, or wouldn't it be fun to be an eagle? I mean, the eagle is such a majestic bird, but what perils you know, do they actually live? And, you know, in kind of being in the life of one of those birds, you find out real quick that maybe things are not always as they seem, but also that, you know, being as the two kids, you know, they're siblings, and they're learning that, you know, they need to love each other and maybe just look out for each other. So I think I hope that others see how I, you know, manage to weave that in there, and they come away with some of those same kind of feelings.
Yeah, it's just the stories, the pictures. I mean, you really feel like you're in the moment and you're there as well. You also have a website. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but you have a blog. Tell everybody the website.
That is 2-feathers.org, T-W-O-feathers.org. And it'll have some pictures of me. It'll have a little bit about me. It'll have, you know, a store, you know, area where you can purchase the book. You can, you know, write any comments or anything on the blog, and I'll respond and all. But it's just intended for you all to just, you know, explore and
Enjoy,
I hope. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect place to end this. Tracy Davidson, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I hope anybody else out there that tries to dive into this book enjoys it as much as I had the fun writing it.
That's a great thought. Absolutely. Tracy, thank you.
Thank you.
Open up the sky. I'm coming up to you, so send down your wings and let them bring me to you. You know I'm standing at the station, ready to go. Oh, the old aeroplane, I'm trusting your soul. Get on a big bird.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, The dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook. Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter, at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Enrichment of the Self and Soul. Who doesn't want that? Richard Chura joins us. He's the author here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. This is a game-changing book, my friends. Richard, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. I was glad to be here. It's an honor, Kate.
So you're a consultant engineer. That was your career. And then you go on this journey. And tell us about the journey, because what was the journey to making this book a reality, and what did you find out?
Well, it started off, I used to read books on being and becoming. Those are philosophy subjects. And one day, after reading this material for like 3 or 4 years and going down to the bookstore and buying them, I went up to the University of Tennessee library. I'd never been there. It was a brand new library. Went upstairs and to the third floor. It wasn't marked like what the subject was in those aisles. And I walked down the aisle and just at random picked out a book, and I opened it to a page that said the word self. And so I looked in the index, and I looked at back on what it said self, and I thought, this sounds like being becoming, only better. So I did a lot of research, and I found that it was. And so later on, I was a consulting engineer that worked for the Fortune 100, 200 companies, and I would work in different states. I worked in at least 5 or 6 states. And then what I would do after work is go to a state library, and I would do research on the self. And I would research like people that said they had higher achievements. As part of their book, they would write about their achievements as an artist, a philosopher, a physicist even, and a musician, and a sociologist, and several kind of different career fields. And these people all said that they wanted to give credit to the fact that they had developed their inner self. And it was a big achievement, and they kind of they were recommending it to everybody else. So it took me 6 years. I mean, it didn't take me, but I just decided I wanted to keep going. And then, beside that, I went to several bookstores, many bookstores, and I bought and read probably hundreds of books, kept the bookstores happy. And so it turned out that... It came out to be a pretty good book. It was about 130 pages. Actually, I had like three books when I started. I had a an analyst look at it, a literary consultant look at it and says, well, you got three books, because I had so much material. I had something on astronomy, and then I had a whole bunch on physics. They said, you should take that out. So I did, and I left the rest of this, which is very meaty anyway. And so that's that was my journey there. And
that's so interesting. You talk about, you know, gosh, that discovery of self. And in the book, The 6 Years to Do It, you have five kinds of selves. Tell us about that.
Well, the psychologists, there's psychologists that have researched this, and they name the five different kinds of selves. And they say that each one of these has its own process of development. Now, I know everybody, I don't think hardly anybody would be aware of that they have a process of development going on from their early age all the way up. But the psychologists say that if any one of those five different selves has a problem developing, that, you know, they could have problems later on and maybe need therapy. And also in other cultures around the world, people have like customs for developing the self, but it's not formalized. I don't even know if people realize they're in other cultures are developing themselves, but like Margaret Mead and several sociologists that study this kind of topic said that, you know, that's true. That's the way it happens over there. And over in India, for example, they've been very, very tuned to the self for like at least 2,000 years. And, I mean, they have a lot of literature about it, and they have their book of Vedas and everything else. And a lot of it is very important to do with the self. And so that's
yeah, that's part of it.
Sums up. Yeah. Here's one more thing. They say that if you do not read about the self or learn about the self, you only read one page in the book of life. So that's pretty bad. If you people don't even know that. I mean, that was a surprise to me. Even I'll tell you.
Oh, what, that makes the hair on my arm stand up. One page in the book of life. I mean, oh, my gosh. That nails it. That, you know, what an epiphany. And you talk about all kinds of things, like symbols are so, and you mentioned it, symbols are so important, aren't they?
Symbols are very important. There's a guy, his name is Juan, J-U-A-N, Cirot, who wrote a book called Dictionary of Symbols. Dictionary symbolism. And then there's several professors. One of them was a woman named Carolyn Bynum, she made a point that, and she did research on this, that symbols will mean different things to men than they do to women a lot of times. The same symbol, you know, they'll see it, but they'll interpret it because they're a woman or they're a man. So that's interesting. So you might say, for whom does the symbol mean, or what, you know, something like that.
Yeah. For you in writing Enrichment of the Self and Soul, I mean, Principles of Life, Cradle of the Soul, you know, the book showing people how to get beyond one page in the book of life and look at other disciplines and walks of life and seeing more about self. What did that journey do to you? Because I would imagine from where you started to where you finished to then doing this book, that has had to have had an impact on you.
Well, it has made me a better person. I know that. You know, a lot of people have problems with organized religion lately. So they're looking for a spirituality outside of their organized previous religion. And I could say that something like this helps you a lot. And, you know, it helps me to be a good person and to have more meaning in life, because a lot of life can be meaningless, or as they say, a hell of hate, because you got to have some meaning, you know, you got to have meaning. And so this book here, what it tries to do is connect aesthetic and scientific and spiritual meaning to a lot of different subjects and career fields, like art, music, philosophy, you name it. And in the book, there's a lot of examples of people in different career fields who all have something to say good about their self and their meaning in life, because they were able to get their self, you know, to a higher level. You can get yourself to a much higher level, and that brings up the rest of your body and soul. Brings your soul up, brings your thinking up to a higher level, and it's kind of automatic. If you bring yourself up, you're bringing your soul up and your spirituality up. And so with the bad problems going on today, especially when COVID happened, people were depressed, they were angry, they were scared. And so this is a good cure for that. And, you know, with global warming, you're also kind of scared, but, you know, it could help.
Right. Well, you talk about it, filling the void of human life with light. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's a very good phrase. That's a very good quote I have in there. I'm glad you said that, because that kind of sums it up, you know. Like, I have something in there about why do we have beautiful landscapes and what I call them soulscapes, you know, view of the ocean, view of the mountains.
Yeah.
Because it gives you meaning. It kind of gives you meaning in life. Soulscapes are like the right hand of nature. Like you just said, having a light.
Yeah, finding the light too, boy.
Finding the light.
Yeah, this book is great. Pick it up. Enrichment of the Self and Soul. Richard Schurer, thank you.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here, Kate. Thank you, and I enjoyed it.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.